Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined by Dr. Luis Fleischman. He is a senior advisor to the Mengus Hemispheric Security Project at the Center for Security Policy, where he edits its important online publication, The Americas Report. Luis is also an adjunct professor of political science and sociology at Wilkes Honor College at Florida Atlantic University. He is the author, most recently, of Latin America in the Post-Chavez Age, The Security Threat to the United States. Luis, welcome back. It's good to have you, sir.
The same here. Like always, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Frank.
Thank you. I wanted first, before turning to another subject matter area of expertise of yours, the Middle East, Luis, just to get your read on what we were discussing a moment ago with Russ Dallin, and that is the elections over the weekend in Venezuela, in which the government seems to have secured a rather remarkable success in many of the gubernatorial contests. What did you make of that, Luis, and what is it likely to do for the people of Venezuela, or to them?
What I make of it is that it's clearly an act of fraud, that the gubernatorial elections were used by Maduro to send a message to the international community that the Maduro government is legitimate and they should stop the pressure. But I think, hopefully, and this depends a lot on the international community and particularly our administration, is that that should backfire. When I mean backfire, that means it's clear an act of fraud. And I am going back to the repertoire of the Ukrainian elections back in 2004, when the clarity of the fraud basically led the international community to isolate then the president of the Ukraine, if you recall, and actually caused the so-called Orange Revolution. So I think the same needs to happen now. This is clearly an act of fraud. There have been a number of irregularities, and the result is extremely suspicious, given the fact that most recently we experienced a major uprising in Venezuela, discontent, and tremendous repression on the part of the government. This result is not logical by any means. So this is now where I urge the Trump administration to impose full sanctions along with the Europeans, along with the Organization of American States. This is the time to isolate and to force the regime of Nicolas Maduro out.
Luis, you've just done an interesting piece for us at the Center for Security Policy about the recent enactment by the House of Representatives, unanimously no less, of legislation called the Nicaraguan Investment Conditionality Act. Talk a little bit about it and why it is so important and whether perhaps it is an indication of what might be done in Venezuela as well.
I think it is extremely important because it puts pressure on the Nicaraguan government to stop committing acts of fraud. That's what Ortega, the President Daniel Ortega, has been doing for a long, long time. This is what he was probably about to do on the upcoming elections on November 5th. For the first time, we are seeing the Congress enacting a law aimed at basically forcing the Nicaraguan government to respect democracy. And why is this possible? It's possible, first of all, because the Obama administration is no longer there. And obviously, this is easier. Remember, the Obama administration tried not to upset the Latin American countries. He viewed the situation as such that the United States is perceived in Latin America as a perpetrator, let's say, and therefore it cannot enact anything, even not to promote democracy in those countries. And now the Congress unanimously approved the NICA Act, which is aimed at imposing sanctions on Nicaragua unless he straightens up and imposes the rule of law and ceases to commit fraud in elections.
Yeah, that's a heavy lift and highly unlikely, it would seem, given Ortega's background. But I think it does indicate a degree of unanimity on the part of at least the House of Representatives that is impressive. Let me switch gears if I can. You've also spent a lot of time over the years studying and thinking and writing about the Middle East. And I wanted to get your take on the attack on the Kurdish areas of northern Iraq by forces that are, let's be honest, essentially proxies of, or simply the agents of, the government of Iran. What is your sense of the implications of this attack and where it is likely to impinge upon our interests?
Well, I think it is, this attack is not to be tolerated by us, regardless of what kind of relation we have with the Iraqi government. First of all, this relation is not particularly strong because the federal government in Iraq, immediately, as soon as the Kurds expressed their desire to have the referendum, they immediately went to the Iranians in order to block the Kurds. The Kurds have been our allies because they fought ISIS, and they obviously intimidate the government of Iran. Therefore, the government of Iran is very afraid of a Kurdish independence. Therefore, it is in our interest to defend the Kurdish interest at this point. And in my opinion, every alliance with the government of Iraq, regardless of how important that would look, is not as important as an alliance with the Kurds, because they are our real allies. We cannot betray our allies. The attack of the federal Iraqi government on the Kurds is a crime that we need to oppose vociferously.
Well, we will see if the Trump administration sees it that way and takes the necessary steps. I agree with you that an independent Kurdistan, not only with respect to the problem posed by Iran, but also, for that matter, Syria and Turkey, is a good thing for us. Let me ask you about one other thing. As Iran moves into this so-called Shiite crescent that it's forging from basically Yemen all the way up through to the Mediterranean, it is coming increasingly close with its own forces and those of Hezbollah and other surrogates, the Syrian government among them, to red lines that the Israelis have drawn. And not to be confused with the red lines that Barack Obama once drew, what do you think the implications of that might be, Luis Fleischman? Are we looking at the prospect of an imminent and potentially quite bloody conflict between the Iranians and the Israelis?
Well, yes. I believe that the Iranians are probably going to try to avoid a direct military confrontation with Israel because they understand that they are not, at this point, they don't have that capability military to confront the Israelis. I do not know whether it's going to reach that point. It seems to me that the Iranians are going to act more rationally than, let's say, somebody like Saddam Hussein would have. On the other hand, and you touch upon a very, very important point, is the whole question of revisiting the Iran nuclear deal. Because one of the most important, I would say, defects that the Iran nuclear deal had, among others, of course, was the fact that it was not a package aimed at containing Iran altogether. In other words, it didn't include the non-nuclear activities of Iran, which is subversion, which is their involvement in different countries such as Iraq, Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, and many others, where they are trying to influence the different regimes. They are creating proxies. They are creating subversion and violence. In other words, what the government of Barack Obama did was basically saying to the Iranians, if you agree to reach a nuclear deal, we will give you a green light to expand your power in the Middle East.
Yeah, this is so important against the backdrop of what President Trump did last week with respect to this Iranian deal, Luis Fleischman. We will come back to you to discuss this at greater length. We are hard out of time at the moment, though. We have to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.